Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just bless you, Lord, that your word is the truth, Lord, and we can rely on it and trust what you tell us. So grant us your blessing now, Father, as we come to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Test the spirits. I really feel this little section is so relevant for today. I don't know about you, but when I look at the media, and I know some of the facts that they're not portraying and so on, you begin to wonder if you believe anybody, don't you? Yeah, you really do. I mean, you know, there's one claiming one thing, one claiming another, and I mean, with the issues in Ukraine, you know, I mean, there's Russian saying one thing, Ukrainian saying another, and somebody saying something else, and you're never quite sure who's telling the truth, do you? Well, it's the same in the spiritual world, unfortunately, as well. And I think what the lessons are in this might be help us in our world in which we live today as well. So John is saying, test the spirits, or believers shouldn't believe everything they hear or see. Well, there you go. So let's have a little read of the passage, just a short passage. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So let's try and see what he's got to tell us in that one then. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. There are deceivers out there, did you know that?
Yeah.
Spiritual and supernatural ones he's talking about as well. And I just want to say there's something that struck me as I was reading some other commentaries. They were talking about how in the church, from 1 Corinthians, it says the leaders, when someone prophesies, a prophet stands up and says something, he says, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Now I assume Paul is talking about the other prophets weighing carefully what he said, but I think it's more than that, because John is writing, dear friends, he doesn't say dear leaders, he says dear friends, he means the people of God, you know, we're all to be on our guard in that sense, you know, all that glitters is not gold, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm afraid it's true.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I knew English.
You wish you knew English?
Yeah, then I'd be able to understand it. I missed this, but dear friends.
Alright.
And you missed just that friends.
Dear
where
friends.
He's talking to everybody.
Yes.
Friends. And I missed that bit.
Alright. Yeah, well,
I was
probably talking too fast. Anyway, it's about all of us, dear friends. He's writing to his people, God's people. Right. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because what is claimed to come from God may or may not be from God. That's the point. Yeah. Test it to see whether, not to say that they're not, but it might be, but it might not be. So we need to be able to tell the difference. How can you tell the difference? So that you can accept one from God and reject the stuff that isn't from God. Well, we need to know how to test the difference to some degree anyway. And he says the reason we need to do it is because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And he doesn't say a few, he says many. Unbelievable how many sort of distortions you can get. There was a group in Kenya recently, and the pastor got them all to commit suicide, didn't he?
Yeah.
Crazy! You know, these are false prophets leading people into destruction, really. They've gone out into the world, not just a few, false prophets. And Jesus said it would happen, did he not? Matthew 24, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. So they'll be very successful false prophets, it would seem, as well.
Convincing.
Very convincing. That's the tragedy. Well, that's the subtlety of it, but the difficulty of it. And I've got an example here. Today, the devil has a 24/7 transmission service. He's using all sorts. I mean, These are God's good gifts that can be used for good. I mean, satellites, as we've got here, can send the gospel around to places where you and I could never get. That's good. And then it sends out porn wherever nobody can get as well. And all the lies and the distortions and everything else. So via the TV, the internet, newspapers, films, art and culture, the enemy is at work. And interestingly, my daughter was telling me she saw a man who was a scriptwriter for EastEnders. Not that I watch it, but she saw this chap was a scriptwriter for EastEnders. And he was saying how wonderful it was that in the scripts he could include issues and topics of the day and put over his views. It's called propaganda, if you didn't know the word for
it.
Yeah. And he was pleased about it. He wasn't being coy or apologetic about it. He thought it was great. And from his perspective it was, I suppose. But the problem is, the stuff he's purveying is anti-Bible. So the enemy's at work in all sorts of ways, is what I'm getting at. So, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Right, so, fundamental test is, what do they say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah? That's the test. What do they say about Jesus? There's a little poem, I think it's called, yes? What think ye of Christ? That's the test. To try both your aim and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Yeah? Get Jesus right and things begin to be in the right place. So, we'll have a look at what he means by that. Let's have a little think. What do they say about the Lord Jesus? Well, in John's day, they had real problems with Jesus being a man. Because they believed Jesus was God. No problem about that. But they thought the physical was wrong, evil, you know. So, how could God, who's good, want to become something like us? Well, so is he truly man was their denial of that. And of course, part of the logic of it is, I'm giving you some ideas of the thoughts they might say, he cannot understand, care or feel what it's like for you as a human being because he isn't one. Right? So that's their argument, yeah? But John says, and we're going to see that in a moment, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In other words, in his situation, if they didn't acknowledge that Jesus truly was a human being as well, then it was a false spirit. Yeah. If they did acknowledge that Jesus was genuinely a human being as well as the Son of God, they're on the ball. Right, so that's a good test. And then the other side of it is, later on they began to deny whether he was God or not. Yeah? So is he truly God? And the argument is, it comes in the musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, isn't it? Yeah. When she's singing about Jesus, he's just a man. But he's not just a man at all. He's truly God as well. Right, so their argument would then be, well, he's just a man as weak as you and me, he can't help you. So he can't help because he doesn't understand, or he can't help because he hasn't got any strength. And both are wrong. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The revelation of who Jesus is as Lord comes from the work of the Holy Spirit within us. You see him as God then. Right. So, we've got him. He's truly man, truly God. But, as John goes on to say, that every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So, the spirits that don't acknowledge Jesus are demons, of course, behind it all. I call them Satan's propaganda agents, and they are, of course, spreading, as we'll read in a few more verses, how he spreads lies around and distortions and so on. But they're about. So let's just have a think about it. Did you believe that evil spirits are real? You don't see them very often, but they're active. And some parts of the world, they're more aware of it than others, I guess. But they're about. Jesus says they're real. So in chapter 11 of Luke, when he's talking about ministering to the people who've got the demonic possession, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus saying is, you know, I'm getting rid of them and destroying their work. Yeah. So Jesus says they're real. He wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. And also Jesus overpowered them, of course. It's a little bit in when he came to the man of the demon possessed man, you know, the Gadarene guy. This is lovely. This one, verse 8, chapter 8. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So who's speaking when he says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The man speaking is his voice, but who's doing the speaking is the demon. How do you know it's the demon? Because of what he says. What does he say? He recognizes Jesus as the Son of the Highest, Son of God. Right? The bloke didn't know that, did he?
Mm.
He'd never met Jesus before. But the demon knew him.
Yeah.
Yes, all the demon knew Jesus. Well, no doubt about that. So the demon recognizes him and he says, "I beg you, don't torment me." He knows he's in trouble because Jesus has got greater power than they have. And he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and come out he had to, of course. So evil spirits...
Where would he go?
Sorry?
Where would he go?
Where would he go? Well, they asked not to be sent into the pit, into hell. Yeah?
Because he says, "Don't torment, are you here to torment me?"
Yeah, well, before time.
Time.
Well, time's coming, mm. Yes. But yes, Chris.
The test of a prophet, a true prophet, was that he recognised Jesus as the Son of God. Well, this voice recognised Jesus as the Son of God.
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
But he wasn't a true prophet.
He wasn't a true prophet. And the other thing is, you have that exactly with, to try and explain what's going on there perhaps, is when Paul was in, I believe it was Ephesus, that girl who had a prophetic demon
yeah.
Walked around day after day saying, "These men are prophets of the Most High God telling you how to be saved." Absolutely true. And Paul, after several days, got completely fed up with it and told the demon to come out. So she was out of business. Why did he stop him? Because Jesus doesn't want any backup from demons. Yeah?
When...
That's,
oh, sorry, finish.
That's it, yeah. Jesus doesn't want any backup from demons.
When that demon saw Jesus, did he see Jesus as in his right form? Or did he see Jesus as the flesh?
Well, I suspect he knew there was more to Jesus than just his appearance.
Just, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the demons see better than we do, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Did he see Jesus in the flesh? Or
just as a person turning up? No. Yeah, he recognized Jesus. So, the demons can tell the truth when it's suitable, but they're always telling the truth with the purpose of a lie to lead you in the wrong direction. That's part of it. Yeah. So it gets subtle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it gets difficult. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So John's saying is that demonic power and that deception is part of the spirit of Antichrist, as he calls it. And he says, you've heard he was coming into the world and is even now here. But I just want to focus for a moment on the word anti, in the word Antichrist. Because anti has two meanings. It can mean opposed to, and the devil is, opposed to Jesus. But it can also mean in the place of, as like a fake. So how does the devil oppose Jesus? He pretends to be like Jesus, so other people believe him, rather than the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the deception in both ways. He's against him, but he does it by pretending to be like him.
Jealous of him.
Well, that's part of it as well. He hates everything that belongs to the Lord, of course. So that's the Antichrist idea. Now he says, you've already been warned that he's coming. You've heard he was coming, and even now he's already in the world. Well, I assume the disciples have been told by John, and they may well have read Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, because John is writing a good deal later than the time of Paul now. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes this, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come," that's the coming of the Lord, "unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against everything so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" So Paul is writing, and it seems as clear as day to me that he's talking about an individual, not just an idea of a general sort of feeling in the community or something like that. A person is coming who is at the top of the rebellion.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist, as we call him. Paul doesn't call him Antichrist, but that's who he is. And there, John's warning is, there's one coming who's going to do a world takeover, as we read later on, wants to take over the world, wants to be worshipped as God. Sounds a bit like the devil there, doesn't it, really? Behind it all.
Sitting in a high place.
Yeah. And Paul later on says the Lord's going to blast him with the breath of his mouth when he comes. So no battle, just fix it.
He knows that.
Yeah, he knows
that. The thing is, he knows that, so why is he still doing it?
Because he wants to take as many down as he can before he gets down himself. Yeah. That's just malice, pure evil. Yeah. So John's saying is, you've already heard he's coming, but I'm telling you, they're even here now. He says, you're obviously they, is the idea then, that there's antichrists around already. The forerunners. People that are doing the test run for him, in a sense, I suppose.
People think they're God.
People who think they're God, who want to dominate the world or whatever they are.
A bloke in Australia says, I'm God, get over it.
Yeah.
You know, he says, I'm Jesus Christ, so why don't you not get over it?
Well, we'll get over
that's,
it, all right.
That's a demon.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's...
Yes. Yeah, they've lost it completely. So, he's saying is, the round, but basically he's saying is, the big one's coming, I suppose you could say that. The big one's coming, but don't think you're easy and life's going to be okay, because the little ones are active already.
Yeah.
So, be warned. But you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Oh, about that, eh?
Yeah.
Is that wonderful? You, dear children, are from God. So if you've got the Lord, the promise is this, quite simply, is that you are kept by the Lord Jesus. As you walk with him and trust him, you're in good hands.
Yeah.
And you have the victory. He can't beat you. It's not astounding, really, think about it. Yeah? I mean, we're not great fighters ourselves, are we, in that sense, you know? And yet, by the power and the grace of God, you can beat the devil. I mean, that's really good going. Yeah. And the reason you can beat him is because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So where does our strength come from? From the Lord. It's not ourselves, but who is the one living in us? It's the Lord by his Holy Spirit, of course.
We overcame by the word of the testimony.
By the word of the God, yes.
And the testimony.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got the Lord in us. That's the protection we have. Right? But there's more to it. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. Now what John is saying is about those who are hostile to the Lord, are anti-Jesus, anti-Christ we'd say, that they are from the world. They think, they act, they work the way the world does because they belong to it. And they see, what I put here is their assumptions and understanding colours the way they see and so what they say. What I'm getting at is, the way you see what's all around you and how you understand it depends on what's on inside first. It's not what's coming in that tells you what's happening, it's what you see as you see it from the inside. Okay, so if you've got coloured glasses on, everything looks blue, if you've got blue glasses, yeah? They've got sin, world thinking glasses on, and they're looking to see everything, whether it's Christian or anything else, they see it world perspective.
You're on about people.
Yeah. Yeah, people, yeah. He's talking about them now, yeah. Right, so, that's the problem we have. They're all wearing goggles. And they're goggles that confuse and blind them to the reality. When Jesus comes into your heart, he takes the glasses off. So you can see him properly. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And he really means that. So they're from the world point. They think, they act, they behave as the world. And here's an example of how the world operates. Lies, lies, and more lies. Yeah. I'll give you some Old Testament examples, first of all. Because, you know, one of the saddest, I mean, it's a wonderful man, really, but one of the saddest books in the Bible is the book of Jeremiah, to me. Yeah. Jeremiah was a tremendously faithful prophet. And God speaks highly of him, of course. Yeah. But Jeremiah had the unenviable task of telling a people that didn't want to know that if they didn't change their ways, God was going to boot them out of the land. And Jeremiah was told, you've got to tell them. And then, I've got to tell you this as well, Jeremiah, when you tell them this, tell them if they respond, God will bless them. And when you get chucked out, if you're faithful to him, he'll bring you back.
Amen.
Right, so, great job. And what did they do for him?
Lock him up.
Yeah, great. So Jeremiah has to face not only the people that didn't want to know, but the devil had raised up a whole load of false prophets who are saying exactly the opposite. Jeremiah's saying is, the king of Babylon's knocking on the door. And they say, no he isn't, we're going to be okay, he's going to go. Right? So, false security, and this is one of them that they had here. Jeremiah says, do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. So they're repeating it as a chant, you know. And what are they saying? Essentially this, we've got the temple, we're okay. Yeah? God said he'd stay with us, he'll look after us, we're okay, we do what we like, but you know, God's here, he's going to keep us. Lies, false security. Yeah? And Paul has to argue that, it will come to the New Testament for example, Paul has to argue that, saying is, if Jesus saves us, we can do what we like. No, you can't. Well, you can if you like doing what God wants. Then you can do what you like. Anyway, unbelievers, the way it works is, with unbelievers, just get a bit of irreligion, enough to inoculate you from the real thing. Yeah? So a bit of false security, you know, I've done my bit, I've said my prayer, I've done my religion, I'm okay. Wrong. It's a lie. And then we have the lying prophets, Jeremiah talks about them. And the Lord says this to Jeremiah, I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. Yes. Just because, and I mean, they look good, sound good. And they're lying prophets. And the reason that they're lying is that they tell them all that they want to hear. That's the way it works, isn't it? And of course people will look at these lying prophets and say, well, if they say so, it must be alright. Well, there you are. Lies, lies. They're all around. Poor old Jeremiah. So we come to the New Testament. More lies. Timothy has a letter from Paul, and Paul describes what they say, the wrong way to holiness. I'll give you an example in a minute. The Spirit says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And this is the example, one of the examples. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. Well, they do that in the Catholic Church with the priests, or they used to, didn't they? But what he's getting at is this. They start making up the rules of how God will accept you. If you do this, you're alright. If you don't do this, you're alright. Yeah? So follow our little bunch of rules and you'll be okay. Jesus had the same problem with the Pharisees. They got the rules and then added 99 to them. So he tied it all up, of course. Yeah? Man-made rules will help you, will they? Not in salvation, they won't. No. So, wrong way to holiness. You don't get saved by not marrying and leaving the food off. It won't help. And then, this is the classic, isn't it? We want to hear nice things. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's around. Well, it's been around a long time. I mean, Paul said it then, and it's true now. Yeah. People like to hear, have their back scratched, their ears tickled, yeah, and all that sort of thing. Nothing about changing your ways, asking God's forgiveness, trying to do what's right. Don't want that. No. Just prophesy to us beer. In the Roman times, you know how the Romans, the leaders, got the votes? Yeah? They promised them bread and the circus. Yeah? More bread and the circus. And they got votes. Of course they got votes. People like to hear nice things, don't they? Don't disturb us, we need comfort. Well, that's no good. And one thought crossed my mind, we can scratch our own ears now if you like for a moment, is when Paul says that they're going to be turning up, people want to gather around them, teachers who tell them what they want to hear. I just wonder, in our day and age, is it the younger generation that wants to hear the scratchy ear bit? The older generation have been set in their ways of, well, some have anyway, of knowing about the Lord and so on, and you know, and all those sorts of things. But now we're moving away from that. We don't want God telling us anything, do we? So maybe I'm just getting old. But there is a serious problem amongst the young.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the world listens to them. Well, they do. When you tell them what they want to hear. Yes, like the famous politician, okay, was it the mayor of New York, it was. I remember Alistair Cook, the Letter from America gentleman, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He was interviewing the newly elected mayor of New York, and he was asking him about all his election pledges. He says, well, didn't you say you're going to do this, that and the other? And he says, I lied.
Oh,
well, he was honest about that at least, wasn't he? Yeah. Tell them what they want to hear. Vote for me. There you go. The world listens to them. Right. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Well, who are the we he's talking about? Well, first and foremost, I've got to say this is important. We means the apostles. They're from God. What they say and what they teach, you can take as God's word. But you can extend that to we, as God's children, are from God, and they'll listen to us if we're telling them what God says. Yeah? Just make sure it's God's words you're saying, not your own inventions, of course. But we are from God. I'll take that basically as the apostles speaking. But that takes it back even further to Jesus, of course. Because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They can recognise the voice. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? Voice, just interesting little side bit for you. Voices are really quite interesting. They're like fingerprints. Your voice is unique to you. Isn't that amazing? They are using my voice. But do you know, I worry about this. My voice is my password. Because if you record my voice, you've got my password.
Yeah.
All you need to do is play it to the microphone, and it opens the door for you. And it might be Fred, instead of me. But just an amusing, yeah, lovely example. I went to visit our sister, Pauline, the Irish lady, yesterday. She's in a care home in Wisbeach, a lovely place. Glenfield it's called, in Wisbeach. And I went there to visit her. And I'm sitting there, she's in a wheelchair in the foyer area. And we're having a chat. And a young lady came up to me and said, do you recognise me? Sorry, I don't. She says, I'm Chloe. My great-grandfather is Henry and John. Yeah. It was Rachel's daughter. John and Henry's great-granddaughter. Yeah. And she said, I recognise your voice. Well, once you heard, never forgotten.
Oh, it's lovely.
The patients
have
taken it, they were blind or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So the voice is unique. What I'm trying to say is that the spiritual voice, when you get tuned into Jesus, you can recognise it's him talking through the apostles and not these jokers with their lies. So what is our defence? Got a few things just to help you with. Number one is, have a living knowledge of the scriptures that leads to a personal knowledge of Jesus. Because Jesus warned, and I've got there John 5:39, he was talking to those who were hostile to him, says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And they weren't listening. But really saying is the Bible is your guide to Jesus, of course. And Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So the fundamental test for us as to whether it's true or not is, does it agree with the Bible in its teaching? Yeah? And not just one little verse. The Bible teaching fits together. I hope you realise that. Yeah? Because you can take a verse out of context as a pretext. You've heard that before, have you? Yeah? Well, the Bible teaching, the scripture knowledge, is what guides us to Jesus. That's number one. And then, a willingness to hear the truth from the apostles. Are we teachable? In the sense, are we willing to learn from the Lord? I've got news for you. You haven't arrived yet. No, none of us have. There's more to discover about our wonderful Lord. But John says, we're from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. So we're willing to learn from the apostles. If the Bible convicts you of something that needs to be changed, do it. Yes. And then, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. That is the ultimate help. Paul talks about having the gift of discernment. Now some have that particular gift of discernment. He talks about it in Corinthians, of course. He talks about the different gifts of the Spirit. And discerning of spirits is one of them. I call it, I've said this before, a spiritual nose.
Mm.
What I mean is, you hear something and think, it doesn't quite smell right.
Right.
Yeah. And that could well be the Holy Spirit saying, that's not from me.
Mm.
Yeah. And so John tells us, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us.
Mm.
Praise the Lord for that. Yeah.
Mm.
So, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth from the spirit of falsehood. The test works. If they're talking about Jesus in the wrong way, they're not proper spirit guides, what I say. If they speak about Jesus, well, let's make sure they've got it right, according to the scriptures here. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Well, it works, but I warn you to be careful. The reason being is the word from Jesus. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Do you know what that means? It means they will be so convincing, most people are going to get taken in. God's chosen people won't be taken in, but it's possible that they can be taken by the nose for a long old way, if you're not careful. So he's saying if they can be very, very convincing. And when he says they'll be able to perform great signs and wonders, I don't think they're just tricksters. I think they'll have supplies of supernatural power from Satan. So we need to be warned. All that glitters is not gold, and all that sparks of spirit is not of the Holy Spirit either. So watch out, our Lord warns us. Beware of the dangers. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Well, some you win, eh? But that's it. They're not prepared to listen. So, finally, we have a choice. Yeah? You can't switch off the propaganda, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. It's there. It's around us all the time.
Yeah.
But you can refuse to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And you need to be able to recognize it to disbelieve it in the first place. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us in that. So I've got Joshua. He gives us a choice. When he was entering the land, he says to the people, you've got a choice. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. So he gives them a choice. He says you can have that stupid set of gods, or that stupid set of gods. Because that's what they seem to be heading for, if you're not careful, yeah? He says, but as for me and my household, we're not having any of the stupid gods, we're having the real one. Yes? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Stuart has it over his door.
Did he? Ah, good, good. So, we are in a world today where there is so much deception around us, in every area. Yeah? Who do you believe? I mean, it's not a trivial example, it's one in a sense. The man went along to the doctors with some complaint, and he listened to the doctor, and the man said, good young man, he says, 20 years ago I sat in this same chair and the other doctor before you was here then, and he told me the exact opposite of what you're saying today. Science changes. You can't believe everything the scientists tell you. We've discovered that recently, have we not?
Well, Dennis, I got that the other day, didn't I?
Oh yes, it happened.
The hospital told me to take such and such a thing,
yeah.
And when I went back to, I had to go to the doctor said, no, take the notice of them, do what I said.
Well, who do you believe? Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, in so many areas. Well, Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to not go crazy over all these things. Stop,
yes.
Shane.
Yes.
Yes.
What I was just thinking about that deception, there's a lot around and we should expect it. To me, that is not the worst deception that's in the world and politicians, etc. To me, the worst deception is in the church.
Yes.
Or churches.
Yeah.
Or Christianity, what you call it. Because one of the things I find that to be very careful, as E.T. listen to the coronation,
yeah,
or trying to listen even to the prayers of certain people. And it's a really big verses out of the Bible,
to back up what they say, even though they're out of all context.
Yeah.
Just it sounds nice. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
That to me is that's where real dissent
yeah.
is. They're saying the right word. They even quote scriptures.
Yeah.
It's
a tragedy. I remember as a young Christian, my spiritual dad, we were at a meeting where the local Methodist minister had come to speak, and he said, "Dennis, watch out." I mean, he wasn't being nasty about him. He said, "Watch out, he'll say something here that will sound so wonderful. But if you go to another place where they don't believe anything, it sounds completely different."
Yeah.
Runs with the horses, runs with the hounds. Yeah. And one of the sad things also is, often in the hierarchies, it's not what they say, it's what they don't say is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They leave out the bits they don't want,
mm-hmm.
and the bits they don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it sounds like they, and the other thing that Francis Schaeffer mentioned, he says the danger is they use God words. What he meant by that is they use our words, they're our words from the Bible, but they don't mean by them what we mean. And the danger is we think they mean what we mean and say, "Wonderful!" When all the time they're laughing at you. Yeah. So let's just pray, shall we? Yeah. Bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your truth. Thank you, Lord, your word is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Help us, Lord, to learn and to apply in our lives, in everyday situations, that we may be gracious, humble and yet wise in the way that we respond to others. Lord, and give us discernment that we can check out what's deceptive. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. Help and keep us, we pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the counsel of the wise and the godly apostles. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and his presence in us. So we bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness and grace. And just say thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.